All right, let's dive into the Word of God together. Turn with me in your Bibles to John chapter 16. We're going to be looking at verses 10 through 15. As we continue to go verse by verse and chapter by chapter through the Gospel of John, and as you know, we are in the book of Deuteronomy on Wednesday nights, going through the Old Testament and just having a fabulous time going through the New Testament on Sunday mornings, the Old Testament on Wednesdays, just getting all of God's word that he has for us. And Father, thank you so much for this time, Lord. Speak into our hearts. Lord, we need this word to come alive for us today. And Lord, we pray that this word that you said is living and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, will pierce and divide asunder our soul and spirit and the joint and the marrows and be the discerner of the thoughts and intents of our hearts. That you will reveal those things to us today in Jesus' name. Amen. John 16 verses 10 through 15, the title of this message is Who or What is the Holy Spirit, Part 2. Who or what is the Holy Spirit, Part 2. Now, in Part 1 of this study, we learned that the Holy Spirit convicts the world of sin according to verse 9. And the sin that he is convicting the world of is not the murders, the rapes, the abortions. The sin the Holy Spirit is convicting the world of is their need to repent and surrender their lives to Jesus Christ, the one who died for their sin on the cross. That is the sin the Holy Spirit is convicting the world of. However, according to verse 8, he is not only convicting the world of, number one, sin, but of, number two, righteousness, and number three, judgment. And this leads us to verse 10. It says, of righteousness, because I go to my Father, and you see me no more. Now, in this verse, Jesus is saying that the Holy Spirit is convicting the world of sin. We already saw that. The Greek word is harmatia, is from which it means to miss the mark. The mark is perfection, which is seen in Jesus Christ. And this is why Romans 3:10 says all have sinned or missed the mark and fallen short of the glory of God. And this is why we need a Savior. But the Holy Spirit is convicting the world of righteousness as well. Oh, that Greek word is an amazing Greek word, and it means justice and equity or righteousness. Oh, everyone today is demanding justice and fairness and equity. The only justice or righteousness is seen in the life of Jesus Christ. The only righteousness that God the Father will accept is the righteousness that comes from being connected to Jesus Christ. And this is why Romans 3 verse 22 says, even the righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ to all and on all who believe. And this is the only righteousness that God will accept, is the righteousness that comes through faith in Jesus Christ. Why is this the only righteousness God accepts? The second part of verse 10 tells us why. Because I go to my Father and you see me no more. Oh, by the mere fact that the Father accepted Jesus back shows that his righteousness is the only righteousness that God will accept and allow into heaven. And we receive this righteousness by faith in Jesus Christ. See, man today has made up certain standards of righteousness. For example, for women, not wearing pants and no makeup, not going to the movies, not listening to certain kinds and types of music, and the list goes on and on and on. And if you follow these man-made things, you're considered righteous in man's eyes. But there is only one standard of righteousness that the Father will accept, and that is the righteousness of Jesus Christ that is given to us by faith, not by works, but by faith. And this is why the Apostle Paul said in Philippians 3, verse 9, which is a great verse, and being found in him, not having my own righteousness, which is from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ. The righteousness which is from God, notice, by faith. And with this righteousness, the righteousness of Christ, how can we be more righteous? Oh, here's another question or a statement. How can we improve on this righteousness? If we have the righteousness of Christ as given to us by faith, how can you improve on that? What man-made things can you come up with that you think can improve on the righteousness of Jesus Christ that's given to us by faith? Oh, you can come up with your list of rules and regulations that you think will make you righteous, but the only righteousness that God will accept is the righteousness that is given to us by faith and not by works. So the Holy Spirit is convicting the world of, number one, of sin, but number two, of righteousness. Number three, of judgment. Look at verse 11. Of judgment, because the ruler of this world is judged. So the Holy Spirit is convicting the world of their false sense of judgment. Oh, by the mere fact that they reject Jesus Christ, it shows that their sense of judgment is off, because Jesus is the standard of judgment. The ruler of this world is a term for Satan. According to this verse, has already been judged. When was this? Oh, you got to wake up right now and put on your seatbelt, because we're about to talk about some great things. According to Ezekiel 28 in verses 13 through 19, Satan became lifted up and prideful because of his beauty. And then he said in Isaiah 14 in verses 12 through 15, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will also sit on the mount of the congregation on the farthest sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. And God said, oh, no, you will not. You shall be brought down to Sheol, to the lowest parts of the pit. Then we see in Revelation chapter 12, in verses 7 through 9, describes how Michael and his angels fought against Satan and his angels, and how they were kicked out of heaven to this earth. Oh, and this is why. And this is how we see Satan in his fallen condition in Genesis chapter 3, talking to Eve through the serpent, trying to get her and deceive her into disobeying God. So when Adam and Eve disobey God and obey Satan, the dominion that Adam had over the earth was given over to Satan. And this is why Satan is called the God, little g, of this age or this world, according to 2 Corinthians 4:4. Or to prove to you that this is the case, in Luke chapter 4, in verses 5 through 7, it says, then Satan, taking him, speaking of Jesus, up on a high mountain, showed him all of the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. And the devil said to him, watch this, all this authority I will give you and their glory, for here it is, for this has been delivered to me, when? Through Adam. And I give it to whomever I wish. Therefore, if you will just worship before me, all will be yours. He is basically saying, Jesus, I know you came to die for the sins of the world. Hey, look here. Bypass the cross. You don't have to go to the cross. Take it easy. Just bow down before me and all of this will be yours. I will give it to you. And if you will keep reading, you will see that Jesus never refuted what Satan was saying. So the judgment the Spirit is convicting the world of is when the devil was judged on the cross. See, 2 Corinthians 4:4 also says that Satan has blinded the minds of those who do not believe. Oh, 2 Timothy 2:26 says that they have been taken captive by Satan to do his will. So because Satan has been judged on the cross, no longer are we under the control or under the power of Satan. No longer are we in bondage to him. There is victory in Jesus Christ. And like Romans 6:14 says, sin shall not have dominion over you, for you're not under the law, you're under grace. And because Satan has been judged on the cross, we can now pray that the blinders on the eyes of our unsaved friends and family members and co-workers are removed. We can tell them that they can be set free from those things they're in bondage to through a relationship with Jesus Christ. Oh, this is wonderful news to hear and wonderful news to tell people. I know you're not awake yet, and that's all right. But I'm saying, still wonderful news to tell people. that this is great, that no longer do they have to be bondage to the drugs and bondage to sex and relationships and in bondage to alcohol, that because Satan has been judged, they can be set free, and whom the Son sets free is free indeed. Oh, I gotta wait until third and fourth service to get some excitement about that, because that is good news to hear, that people can be set free through a relationship with Jesus Christ. Sin no longer have dominion over their lives. This is why Jesus said, whom the Son sets free is free indeed. And I love it. I love it. Look what he says there in verse 12. It says, I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. Jesus tells them that he still has many things to say to them, but they were unable to bear them now. The Greek word for bear is an amazing word, bastazo, and it normally means to lift up or to carry away. Now, this could mean that Jesus didn't tell them more because they were unable to understand what he was saying because of their sorrow. While it is true that a teacher cannot communicate more than his students can absorb, it will seem that in this case, we should take the statement of Jesus literally. Until the Spirit came, the disciples were unable to bear or to lift up and carry the responsibility of what Jesus would say to them. They will be unable to live out the teachings without the power of the Holy Spirit working in and through their lives. Oh, please understand this, dear people. You and I cannot live out the teachings of the Bible without the power of the Holy Spirit either. You cannot live out the teachings of the Bible in the energy of the flesh. Jesus said it himself in John 6, verse 63. He said, it is the Spirit who gives life. The flesh profits nothing. Oh, Jesus said it again in Matthew 26, in verse 41. Watch and pray, lest you enter into temptation. The Spirit indeed is willing. Notice, but the flesh is weak. Please remember what Jesus is saying. He said our flesh is weak. So it is useless to try to live out the Christian life in the power or energy of the flesh. You will fall flat on your face. We need God's Holy Spirit, and we need to depend on his power moment by moment, day by day. This is why I constantly instruct you to be reading and praying through the scriptures. See, many of you categorize your Christianity. What I mean is this. You say, okay, this is my time, I'm going to pray. And you pray, okay, I'm done. And then you say, well, this is my time, I'm going to read the Bible. Oh, I read 1-2 chapters. Okay, I'm done. No. It is a dialogue we're having with God. God is speaking to us as we read his word. Then that prompts us to talk to him through prayer as he's revealing things and attitudes and tempers and things that we're doing that's not right. Then we're confessing to him and say, oh, Lord, it is true that my flesh is weak, but I need the power of your Spirit to live out what I'm reading right here. And this is where a dialogue takes place. Too often you say, okay, I pray in the car. That's good. You should be praying in the car the way some of you drive, but that's okay. So you're praying in the car, and then you say, okay, on my lunchtime, I read. Okay, that's great. But the prayer and the reading goes hand in hand. It is a dialogue you're having with God. You can't do it in the energy of your flesh. You can't stop going over his house or her house in the energy of your flesh. You can't stop calling them in the energy of your flesh. You can't stop drinking that, smoking that, doing that. You can't stop going to those sites without the power of the Spirit. Your flesh profits nothing. Jesus said, I didn't make this up. He said the flesh is weak. I don't care how spiritual you think you are. Your flesh is weak. It's weak. And therefore, we need the power of the Holy Spirit. Look at verses 13 through 15. It says, however, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth, for he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will tell you things to come. He will glorify me, for he will take of what is mine and declare it to you. All things that the Father has are mine. Therefore, I said that he will take of mine and declare it to you. Now, even though Jesus said in verse 12 that he still had many things to say to them, but they could not bear them now. But verse 13 says, however, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will do three things. Number one, he will guide you into all truth. Oh, I would be remiss if I didn't bring to your attention that the Holy Spirit, notice, is called the Spirit of truth, meaning that the Holy Spirit will guide us into what is true, what is right, what is true about God. There are a lot of lies out there about God. But the Holy Spirit will guide us into the truth about God. Oh, John 17:17 says, sanctify them by your truth. Your word is truth. We have already seen Jesus say in John 14:6, where Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father except through me. So according to this verse, the Holy Spirit will come alongside of us and guide us into the truth about Jesus Christ in his word. Oh, that Greek word for guide is an amazing Greek word. It's hadigeo, and it means to show the way, to guide or to lead. And so now that Jesus is leaving them, it will be the Holy Spirit that will guide or lead them into truth. Then Jesus said that the Holy Spirit will not speak, notice, on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak. Oh, I've mentioned this before, but I think it's proper to say it again. What if we were so sensitive to the Holy Spirit in our lives that we will not speak on our own authority, but only spoke those things we hear from God? How much would we speak or not speak? What would we start saying and stop saying? Oh, we need to say to ourselves before we open our mouths, to our spouses, to our children, our co-workers, would God want me to say this to them? Or if we are to say it, if God wants us to say this to them, would God want me to say it, here we go, in the tone I'm about to say it? Oh, this is something to think about. Ladies, this is something for you. Hey, if you're over 40, if you're over 40, it's about the tone now. See, it's the tone. See, it's not necessarily what you're saying. It's the tone by which you're saying it. Then if you're over 50, now it's the facial expression. You can say it in the tone, but the facial expression. Like, you can be as calm, you know, on the inside you're raging. And you be as calm and say, now, what in the world? And my wife was like, what's all this? And you want to just explode, but you already was told to watch the tone at 40. So now you're trying to be calm. You're shaking all the time. You're trying to be calm, and you're like, now what in the heck was what? What's with all this? I need some Botox right here, something to keep this from moving. So I can, now why did you? And all the time, really, I'm doing like this, like. What was that about? So it's not only what we're saying. It's the tone by which we're saying it. Then it's the facial expression, what you're giving off. So all this got to be taken into consideration. So with all this in mind, I wonder how much we would talk or not talk, how we would say things. Oh, you see why we need the Spirit of God. Then Jesus said in verse 13 that the Holy Spirit would, number two, tell us things to come. That Greek word for tell is anagelo. It's an amazing word. In earlier Greek culture, it meant to carry back a report. The prefix ana suggests repetition, and the verb carries the classical meaning of saying over again what has already been said, showing how the work of the Holy Spirit will say to us over and over again what Jesus has already said in his word. And he will tell us things to come. Just like Jesus told them in verse 2 of this chapter, that the time will come when they will be put out of the synagogue and there will be people who will kill them and think that they are offering God's service. The same is true with us, how the Holy Spirit will guide us into the truth of prophecy and tell us what is going to happen in this world through the books of Daniel, the books of Revelation, and Matthew chapter 24, just to name a few. It speaks of the future, how God will judge this Christ rejecting world. And I'm not shocked because God says, I know God's word, and he said these things will take place. I'm shocked that my eyes are seeing it. I thought that the world that we're living in today, I thought my children and grandchildren will live in this world. I didn't think that I will see where our world would become so politically correct and how our society would hate Christianity in this country the way that it's going. How the things of Christianity is being totally removed from society, where my poor little grandchildren would not even know that this was once a Christian nation. And they won't even know, because they will grow up in a world that, or in a country that anything that sniffs of Christianity is being kicked out. Oh, you've heard me. How many times have you heard me say this? And there's already a bill that's trying to get passed to get In God We Trust off our money. I mean, how many times you've heard me say that? I said a lot on Wednesday. You come on Wednesday. You come on Wednesday. I said a lot on Wednesday nights. But of course they're going to do that. That's how we're going to go to a cashless society that Revelation chapter 13 talks about. That's how we're going to do it, because In God We Trust, they got to get that off that money. So if you get rid of the money, it's gone. And go to a cashless society, and we're already moving in that direction. Because I don't know about you, I don't carry cash. I don't carry cash. Some of you still do. You holding up the line, pulling out, and getting your little coin purse out, you know, with the slit in it, and you point. And we back there like this, like, serious? And so I don't carry cash. And definitely some of you still got checkbooks in your pocket. God bless y'all. So we're already moving in that direction. But Matthew 24, the book of Revelation, the book of Daniel, the book of Ezekiel, all tells us it tells us about these things that are taking place right now. I'm just shocked that my physical eyes are seeing it today. That's what I'm shocked. I thought, I tell my kids about it, I tell my grandkids, and then when I'm long gone, then they will live in this world. No, I'm seeing it. I'm shocked. I'm shocked at that. Then Jesus said in verse 14 that the Holy Spirit would, number 3, glorify me. Jesus goes on to say that he will take what is mine and declare it to you. Then Jesus takes it a step further in verse 15 to say, all things that the Father has are mine. Therefore, I said that he will take of mine and declare it to you. In other words, Jesus is saying, not only will the Holy Spirit take what is mine and declare it to you, but he will also go to the source of all truth, which is God the Father, and declare it to you. How powerful and important the work of the Holy Spirit is in our lives. So a true spirit-filled believer or church is one that glorifies Jesus Christ. Seeing that the entire Bible is all about Jesus Christ, according to Hebrews 10:7, he says, in the volume of the book, it is written of me to do your will, O God. John 5:39, search the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life. These are they which testify of me. When we teach you the Bible from Genesis to Revelation, we're truly being spirit-filled and spirit-led. I am assuming we still get these calls, but we used to get them all the time. Ring, ring. Oh, you know, good morning, Calvary Chapel. Is this a spirit-filled church? Now I know what they're asking. They're asking, are we rolling around in the aisles and screaming and, you know, and tongues and all kind of stuff is good. I know what they're asking. But a true spirit-filled and spirit-led church is a church that glorifies Jesus. The Bible says right here, I didn't make this up. He shall glorify me. And in those churches, it's always the Spirit. Boy, the Spirit moved. The Spirit was great. The Spirit was high today. The Spirit came upon this person. And they rode around. They ran around. They screamed. And they did Spirit and the Spirit. And all the time, the Holy Spirit is like, no, not me. Jesus. Jesus. He shall not glorify me. He's glorified Jesus. And so a true Spirit-filled believer is a believer that's always going to glorify Jesus. He's going to talk about Jesus. He's going to understand that the Bible says, and whatever you do in word or deed, do to the glory of Jesus Christ. Whatever you do may be for the glory of God. See, they understand that. And a church who understands what being Spirit-filled is a church that's going to glorify Jesus. That's what it's all about. It's not about how high you jump. Here's how straight you're going to walk like Jesus when you get out. Whether your life is going to glorify him when you leave these doors. So many folks, they come here and they come to churches and they do all kind of things. And then they go home and live such ungodly lives. And that's why people say, I ain't going to them bunch of hypocrites. Because they are hypocritical. Because they're putting on the mask of the Christian in here and they remove it when they get home. The hypocrite comes from the Greek word hypocrites. It means an actor, one who wore a mask. And people are tired of seeing folks just wear a mask. When they come in churches and they do their church thing, and then when they go home, they take the mask off. And people are tired of that. And they say, you know what, forget that kind of mess. And so it's about us glorifying Jesus Christ once we leave these doors. That's why. That's a true Spirit-filled and Spirit-led person. Let me conclude with this. Who or what is the Holy Spirit? The Holy Spirit convicts the world of sin, of righteousness, and judgment. He guides us into all truth. He tells us things to come, and he glorifies Jesus Christ. We desperately need the work of the Spirit in our lives because so often we are trying to glorify ourselves instead of Jesus. We're trying to guide our own lives, and we don't study the Word enough for him to tell us things to come. And we wonder why we're ignorant to the things that's happening in our world today. We wonder why we keep falling into the same sins over and over again. The ministry of the Holy Spirit is so needed in our lives today. And may we yield our lives to the work of the Holy Spirit and allow him to guide us into all the truth of God's word and that all that God has for us in his word. As we daily meditate on his truths about Jesus Christ. That's the only way we're going to glorify him, if we glorify him in his word. That our lives reflect the word of God. Our lives reflect the one we're seeking to glorify, which is Jesus. May our lives do that. The world, the world is not as turned off to Jesus as we think. They're just turned off to our bad example of Jesus. Our horrible example of him. No, we're not perfect like him, but can we at least strive to enter through the narrow gate of Jesus? Can we just strive to be like him? They're just tired of the mess. They're just tired of the mess. The junk in church and the mess that goes on, they're just tired of it. And so if we begin to show them what a true Christian is all about, I believe we'll see more people willing to come. And when they come and get taught the word of God and see Jesus Christ set them free from all the junk they're in bondage to, may we be a people that reflect Jesus Christ in and through our lives. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for your word. We're so grateful for your love for us. We're so grateful that, God, that you have given us your Holy Spirit. You told us that the Spirit is willing, but our flesh is so weak, and we acknowledge how weak our flesh is, Lord. And we need the power of your Spirit to come upon us afresh, to empower us to live for you. Lord, may we yield our lives to your Spirit and seek to glorify Jesus Christ. And Lord, I pray for if there's anyone here who've never repented of their sin and accepted Christ as their Lord and Savior, may today be the day of salvation for them. Drawing them to you by your Holy Spirit. Work in lives today, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.